Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about Pastor Rick Warren's best-selling book called The Daniel Plan. This amazing book will revolutionize the way you look at health, food, and friendships forever. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called What It Really Takes to Change.
Now this week, we're going to look at some more issues on what does it take to really change. You know, one of the universal desires of human beings is this desire to improve. It's universal. We all want to grow. We all want to get better. We all want to improve. We all want to make something of our lives if we're healthy. One of the proofs of that is that we spend billions of dollars every year on projects and products and gizmos and gadgets that we think will improve our lives or make our lives better. And there's an entire industry built around the idea of if you'll just buy our product or eat our product or whatever, then your life will be better. But sadly, the results don't really last. And some of them don't even work at all. Is there anything out there that can guarantee permanent change? Is there anything that can really transform my life, that can actually make the changes in the deepest part of me? Not superficial changes, but in the deepest part of me. And yes, but you've got to go back to the owner's manual. You know, when in doubt, read the instructions and check with the Creator. Now, the classic text in scriptures on how to change is in the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans in the New Testament is the sixth book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And in chapter 12, in the first 12 verses, it gives us the classic text on what it really takes to change. These six principles we're going to look at today, you're going to come back to over and over and over again. Because regardless of the kind of change you want to make, these are the principles that work for lasting, long-term, permanent change in your life. So let's get right into it. If you have your Bible, you can open to Romans chapter 12. If you don't, doesn't matter because all of the verses are there right on the outline. And we're just going to go through it verse by verse. So let's get into it. Now, these are the six principles for lasting change. The first principle is in verse 1, and I call this the principle of dedication. And the principle of dedication is this: commit my body to God. I commit my body to God. That's the starting point. For change to happen in any area of your life, whether you want it financial, vocational, educational, mental, relational, and it actually works best to begin with the physical. I commit my body to God. And this is what the Bible says. Now, why is this true? To start with the physical. Because your body affects your behavior. Your muscles affect your moods. Your muscles affect your motivation. Any teacher knows this. If a kid comes into class slouching or, you know, slumping, that kid's got a bad attitude. You already know they're not going to be in a good mood for education, that your body can actually influence your mood. You can read any book on body language, on posture, on things like this, that your physiology can actually affect your psychology. Let me prove this to you. Everybody just sit up straight right now, okay? First, just sit up straight. Everybody sit up, okay? Roll your shoulders just a little bit, okay? Okay, take a deep breath and hold it for a minute. Okay, now let it out slowly. Now, I don't know if you feel any better, but you sure look better. And I want to guarantee you that you are far more alert than you were 5 seconds ago. I guarantee you, you are far more alert. Why? Because your body sent messages to your brain, said, sit up and listen. Okay, so God says you offer your body. You start there. Physiology affects psychology. Notice this, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of what? Yeah, worship. Now, this verse is so packed with material, we could spend the whole day on it. Let me just tear it apart word by word. First, it starts off, therefore, I urge you, brothers. Now, let me give you a little tip on Bible study. Anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to stop and find out what it's there for. Because a therefore means, in light of everything I just said. Now, Paul has just talked for 11 chapters in Romans. I don't have time to go back over the first chapter, 11 chapters of Romans. I once taught through this book, and it took me 2.5 years. It's so packed. But I will summarize the first 11 chapters where he's saying, therefore, in light of everything I just said, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul talks about all the cool things God has done for you. And he says, God has done this, and God has done this, and God has done this, and God has done this. Oh, and by the way, God has done this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Oh, and let me add this. God has done this, and this, and this, and this, and this for you. And then he comes to chapter 12 and he says, therefore, in light of all these mercies that God has shown you, in light of God's grace to you, offer your bodies. Okay? He's saying, because of everything God has done for you, and you can go back and read all Romans chapter 1 to 11. Now, he says, offer your body. Now, notice it doesn't say, offer your heart to Jesus. I mean, you hear that all the time. Give your heart to Jesus. He doesn't say, offer your spirit to Jesus. He doesn't say, offer your soul to Jesus. He says, offer your body. Why? Because that's all you've got. Because as long as you're on this planet, everything you do for God, with God, in God, you're going to do in your bod, for God. I mean, have you ever heard anybody say to you, now, I can't be with you tonight at that party, but I'll be with you there in spirit. You know what that means? Nothing. Okay? You can't be with anybody in spirit. If you're not there in body, you ain't there. Because as long as you're here on earth, you can only be in one place at one time. It's wherever your body is. You are limited to your physical body. So this is a bunch, you know, say I'll be there in spirit is what you get when you cross a crocodile and abalone. It's a crocabalone. Okay? You can't be in spirit anywhere. You can only be there in body. So it says, offer your body. Why? Because the Bible teaches both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the body is a good thing, not a bad thing. Now, there was a group of people around the time of Jesus called the Gnostics, and they were a cult, and they taught the body is bad, the body is evil, the body is no good, therefore sex is bad, evil, and no good, and all these other things. They denied that even Jesus had a real body because God would not have a real body because the bodies are bad. Well, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. The Bible says sex is not bad, it's holy. It's good, not bad. And the Bible teaches very clearly that God created my body, Jesus paid for my body, the Holy Spirit lives in my body, my body's connected to God's family, the body of Christ, and one day my body's going to be resurrected. So the bottom line is, it's a good thing. Now, he says, offer your bodies. Now, question, the word offer. Is when you offer something, is that forced or is that voluntary? Yeah, it's voluntary. It's not forced, it's voluntary. And this is an important thing. Nobody can force you to change. No matter what change it is in life, nobody can force you to change. Now, a lot of times people don't realize this before they get married. You know, I've done a lot of weddings, and when people get married, there's always a certain order to the marriage, is the bride walks down the aisle, and then she stands at the altar, and then they sing the hymn, and she gets it in her mind, okay, that's the order after the marriage, too. Aisle, altar, hymn. It isn't going to happen, friend. Okay. You can't change your husband. You can't change your wife. You can't change your parents. And friends, you can't change your kids. The only person you can change is you. Now, this is the first law of change. Would you write this down? Because we're going to look at the laws of change from God's word. The first law of change is this. Change is my choice. It is always my choice. Nobody can force you to change. Nobody can make you change. I can't talk you into change. You will not change until you good as well decide to change. And that's true. And I can talk myself blue in the face, talk to you about changes that you want to make physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, financially, vocationally. But it isn't going to happen until you decide that you actually want to change. That's the first law. Change is my choice. Now he says, therefore, offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Now, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can choose to crawl off the altar. And we do this all the time. We offer ourselves to God, and then we take ourselves back. We do it all the time. And so this is not like a once-for-all offering. In 1992, I gave my life to God. Now, you got to do it maybe 4, 5, 10 times a day, or every time you are tempted to do something wrong for your body, your mind, your spirit, or whatever. You offer your body to God. Offer as a living sacrifice. See, what happens is we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice on Sunday, and then we crawl off the altar Monday morning. We come to church and we sing Onward Christian Soldiers, and on Monday we go AWOL. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It is your spiritual act of worship. You say, wait a minute. There is actually something I could do with my body that would be an act of worship? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In fact, let me give you three specific things you can do with your body that are acts of worship. Okay, write these down. Three things that you can do with your body that the Bible clearly says, are acts of worship. Number one, I can cleanse it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about detox. I'm talking about not putting in poison in my body. By cleansing my body, that can be an act of worship. You see, there may be some stuff that you're putting in your body that you need to stop putting in your body. And you need to cleanse your body of that, those toxins, those poisons, that bad stuff. He said, where is that? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Look up here on the screen. Let's read this verse aloud together with great enthusiasm. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, notice here, the motivation is, I want to be holy before God. I'm doing this as an act of worship, as an act of reverence to God. God made my body. I better take care of it. Now, that verse says, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And in that verse, can we go back to that verse? I don't know if we can or not. But the verse there says, everything that contaminates the body or the spirit. Now, what contaminates the body is stuff that goes in through the mouth. You eat it or you drink it. What contaminates the spirit goes in through the eyes and the ears. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. You contaminate your spirit by what you watch and what you listen to. You contaminate your body by what you eat and what you drink. Now, so the first thing you can do, the Bible says, is out of reverence for God, is you can cleanse your body of the contaminants. That's an act of worship. Second way, by caring for my body. I can care for my body. That's an act of worship. I can care for my body. Caring for your body is an act of stewardship. Because remember, what you think you own is really on loan. You don't really own anything. It's all God's. God just loaned it to you. You didn't own anything before you were born. You're not going to own anything after you die. It's just here while he lets you live here on earth. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 5, 29. No one hates his own body, at least in his right mind. No one hates his own body, but lovingly cares for it, just as Christ cares for his body, which is the church. It's the family of God. Okay? So he says we care for our bodies just like Christ cares for his body, the church. Caring for your body can be an act of worship. Now, how do you care for your body? Well, keeping it in shape would be a good way to do that. That can be an act of worship to God. Okay, let me give you a third way. By controlling my body. Controlling my body. Cleansing it, caring for it, and controlling it. Controlling my body is an act of worship to God. When I do it out of motivation. Now, some people cleanse their body, care for their body, and control their body simply out of pride. That's not an act of worship. I mean, I can take you down to the gym and people are doing it for their worship of themselves. Okay? And the self-made man usually worships his own maker. So we're not talking about everybody doing this, but I'm saying if you're doing this because you want to do it to please God, then it becomes an act of worship. It's not an act of worship automatically. It's an act of worship if you're doing it out of reverence for God. By controlling my body. Look at these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4, 4 says this. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. In other words, I control my body. It doesn't control me. In other words, I don't say, well, I couldn't help myself. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Look at this verse here on the screen. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. All right? Now, if we do that, don't you think we'd have a whole lot fewer health problems? Why are we starting with the physical? Well, number one, it says, offer your body. Okay? In any change, you start with the body. Why? I'll tell you why. Because no matter what kind of change you want to make in your life, mental, physical, financial, spiritual, social, whatever, any change requires energy. And the reason why you don't change is you don't have the energy. You're just too tired to change.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, God put it on Rick's heart to connect with a team of leading experts to create the Daniel Plan, a powerful Bible-based program that has helped more than 15,000 people lose weight, increase their energy, and improve their relationships, all while growing closer to the Lord. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, honestly, I never paid much attention to my health until I had a little epiphany a few years back when I baptized over 800 people in a single day by immersion. Now, looking at myself and everybody that I was baptizing, it was real clear that we all needed to get healthy. So I put together a team of nationally known doctors to help me develop a program for our church. I called it the Daniel Plan, based on the passage in the book of Daniel, where Daniel has a contest with King Nebuchadnezzar on who can be the healthiest. The Daniel Plan is centered on five essentials that will help you become healthier: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. There are a lot of diet plans out there that deal with food and fitness, but the secret sauce in the Daniel Plan is focus, learning to have your mind renewed, friends, learning to grow in community, and faith, trusting God's power rather than willpower. You know, we found that when individuals addressed health issues in each of these key areas, they are transformed. In fact, in the first year of the Daniel Plan, over 15,000 people from 190 countries participated, and the results were life-changing. In fact, our own church, Saddleback Church, lost over 250,000 pounds in 1 year. Can you imagine that? What did it do for our church?
It increased our energy. We started sleeping better. It reduced our need for medication. The whole church was healthier. Now, the Daniel Plan has been released in a book format, and I want you to have a copy of this book today so you can start getting healthier now. And I'll send you a hardcover copy of the Daniel Plan book as a very special thank you for your gift to this ministry. When you give financially to support Daily Hope Ministries, I want to send you this book. It's called The Daniel Plan. You know that Daily Hope is a 100% listener-supported ministry. Thank you for your support. It allows me to continue to share these teachings with people who haven't heard the gospel and are hearing it some for the very first time.
Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.